This is Pro Blogger.
Hey there and welcome to episode 244 of the Pro Blogger podcast. My name's Darren Rouse and I'm the blogger behind ProBlogger.com, a blog, podcast, event, job board, series of ebooks and courses all designed to help you to start an amazing blog, to create brilliant content for that blog that's going to change the lives of your readers and also to work out how to sustain that blog to make it a profitable venture, not only for your readers but for you. You can learn more about ProBlogger and all that we do over at ProBlogger.com. Now, today's podcast is brought to you by this year's Success Incubator event, which I'm running with some good friends this coming September in Orlando, Florida. We ran our first Success Incubator last year, and it was one of the highlights of my year. And we're going to evolve the event slightly this year to make it a little bit more of a mastermind style event. We're limiting the numbers to keep it a little bit more intimate, and we're also including considerable time not only for teaching, there'll be a series of sessions which will be more workshop style, but also putting aside considerable time for masterminding. Now, we're running the event over an afternoon and then a full day on the afternoon of the 24th of September and then into the 25th of September, all day on the 25th. On the afternoon of the 24th, there's going to be what we call our power sessions, which are short, sharp teaching sessions, finished off by an unofficial kind of dinner, an opportunity for you to meet some of the other attendees. And then all day Tuesday, you're going to get some great teaching. We have four sessions which we're lining up, which we're calling our workshop sessions. So these will be input. And then we're also around those having four opportunities for masterminding. And the masterminds are all about you presenting your challenges, your situation of your online business, and allowing the rest of the group at your table to give you input, including our speakers. So you're going to get some access to some of our speakers, some people who've got years and years of experience, but also, and this is where the value really came from last year, you've got access to an amazing group of other attendees who are on the same journey as you. So if you are thirsting for an opportunity for a day or so to get together with some other people on this journey to really put out there what you're doing, to have it critiqued, to have their ideas, and also contribute into other people's businesses, which can turn into all kinds of collaborations, then I really do encourage you to check out Success Incubator. Just head to problogger.com/Success Incubator. Now, in today's episode, episode 244, I want to talk to you about how to find more traffic for your blog through offline measures. We have done many podcasts in the past on how to grow traffic to your blog using online methods, but someone actually asked in our Facebook group in the last week or so, are there ways to do this in an offline setting? And I actually think there are, and I think that the beauty of going offline is that you can get a more engaged, more targeted reader. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And then I'm going to talk particularly about growing your audience through different styles of events, conferences, meetups, and those types of things. And then I've got a few other ones. Some of them are a little bit wacky, but some of them I have seen do really well for different types of bloggers. So if you are looking for more traffic, today's episode is for you. You can find today's show notes with a full transcript of the show at problogger.com/podcast/244.
Creating great content. Finding an audience. Building engagement. Monetizing your blog. This is ProBlogger.
So today's episode was stimulated, was really came about as because Juliana Barnaby from the discoveriesof.com asked in our Facebook group a question that stimulated it. She said, I want to ask you whether you think it's important to spend time building your personal brand and reputation outside of the online sphere, i.e. in face-to-face networking in particular. How important do you think this is in cementing and growing your online presence? And what are the channels that you found to be most rewarding? Is it conferences? Is it meetups? I would love to hear your thoughts, Juliana. So thank you, Juliana, for the question. And in short, my answer is yes, I do think it's really important to consider offline as well as online when it comes to growing your brand, your profile, seeking exposure, and particularly finding new readers for your blog. You know, one of the things that I've noticed over the years in talking to thousands of bloggers is that many bloggers struggle with the fact that a lot of their online promotion tends to get other bloggers reading your blog more than normal real life people. I don't know whether that's something that you relate to, but one of the things I've noticed is that many newer bloggers, they tell me that most of their readers are other bloggers and they don't actually have too many normal everyday people. And I think it can become a bit of a insular kind of echo chamber. And one of the ways to break out of that to find new readers is to go offline. Let me just give you an example of what I mean by that. You know, one of the big techniques that often is talked about as a way to grow your audience and to grow your profile is to comment on other blogs. And this does work. It can get you new readers. It can build a relationship with the blogger that you're commenting on. But it really makes a bigger impression upon the blogger than it does their readers. And as a result, you can end up with this new reader, a blogger, but not their readers as such. And so one of the things I do encourage you to do is to think about how can you find fresh audiences and audiences of people who aren't bloggers or podcasters or YouTubers. Not that there's anything wrong with bloggers, I have to say, because I know all of you are. But I think it's also really important to ask yourself, you know, where are the kind of reader that I want to have? And the answer to that may be online, but it may also be offline. And this is really important in some niches in particular. I know I was talking to one blogger recently and they have an audience of retirees. And I know older people, retirees, people kind of in that phase of their life are definitely online today, but there's a segment of them that perhaps aren't as online as other ages. And so maybe they're hanging out in different places and maybe there's an opportunity through that to reach them in different ways. That's a big generalization, I know. No, but there are certain segments of the population who are less likely to be reading blogs. They're less likely to be listening to podcasts. They're less likely to be on YouTube. And so how can you reach them? And one of the answers to that is to go offline with your promotion and your profile building. Now, what I want to do in the rest of this episode today is to give you some strategies, particularly around events, but also some other strategies for finding new readers for your blog and to build your profile. And one of the things I want to say right up front is that it's really worth saying that some of the strategies I'm going to talk to you about today are not going to bring you deluges of traffic. They're not going to create viral-like traffic. Some of them are actually just going to bring you one or two new readers at a time, but this is really important to hear. That's where it starts. And if you're a new blogger, one or two new readers is actually a really important thing because those one or two people will have a network of their own that they can potentially share what you're doing with. And word of mouth always starts with one person sharing what you are doing with another person. The other thing I'll say about offline interactions that you might have, if you meet someone face to face and convince them to read your blog, the chances of them becoming an engaged reader is much higher. The chances of that person coming back again the next day, that person sharing what you're doing with another person is much higher than someone just randomly coming in from social media or randomly coming in from Google. Someone coming in from Google has a very high percentage chance of never coming back to your blog, not even taking notice of your logo or coming back again or sharing what you're doing. But someone that you meet in person is going to be much more highly engaged, and that person is much more likely to become a subscriber, to share what you're doing with other people, to leave a comment, and to eventually buy something that you are selling as well. And so these methods that I'm going to share with you today may not bring you millions of readers. In fact, they're not likely to do that at all, but they're going to bring you an amazing type of traffic, and so it's well worth doing.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
Okay, so let's look at some of the methods that I've kind of put together for you today. And I want to say right up front, I feel like I'm scratching the surface here. There's so many different things that you could do. And the more I thought about this, the more I realized there are all kinds of creative ways of getting your name, your profile, your blog's URL in front of people. But let's start with a few that I've come up with. And as I say, I'm going to particularly focus on events because Juliana kind of focused on that in her question. So let's talk about events. Events can be very powerful because they give you that face-to-face interaction that I was just talking about. They allow you to meet people in person, which gives you that chance to build a relationship, which warms them up. It speeds up the engagement that you might have with them. So they're powerful for that reason. They're also powerful because most events are fairly targeted. They tend to target a niche. So if you can find an event that is a good match for the type of reader you want to have, you can go to that event feeling reasonably confident that most people there are going to be potential readers or collaborators or partners or just influences in your space. They also have a lot of people in the one space at the one time. And so it's likely over an event like a day that you are likely to be in front of quite a few people, even if you are just there as an attendee. Now, obviously, there's a variety of types of events. There's conferences. These are centered more around the content and teaching and also have some networking opportunities. Then there's exhibitions or conventions or shows, and these are more centered usually about people exhibiting their products. They don't tend to have as much content, but they're more about the exhibition hall. And then there's meetups, and these are more centered around networking. Now, all three types of these events can be worth attending, but each presents a really different opportunity. And I think it's really worth thinking about the event that you're going to and the opportunities that it presents. Because there's been times where I've been to an event thinking that one thing would happen and another thing ended up happening. So let's just go through those three types again. Conferences. Conferences present opportunities for you as an attendee to network and also present opportunities perhaps to speak or to volunteer even or to participate in other ways. And I'm going to give you some examples of those in a moment. Conventions, on the other hand, tend not to have as much, in my experience, not as much networking opportunity. Some of them do have a bit of networking built into them. They're not so much about finding new readers, in my experience, but they can be really good for finding new collaborators or even sponsors for your blog. For example, I've been to some really big camera shows. And these are big exhibition spaces where all the big manufacturers are displaying their cameras. I remember going to the first one of these thinking, I'm going to meet lots of potential readers for my blog. You know, there's going to be lots of people there interested in cameras. As it turns out, I didn't meet any potential readers of my blog, but I met a sponsor, I met other people in the media who became great contacts, I met people who could send me review units for my blog so that I could review these cameras. So it ended up being a very worthwhile time, but I went there expecting I was going to meet new readers. So conventions tend to be better for those type of opportunities, although you'd be open to finding new readers as well. Meetups, on the other hand, are great for networking. They may not get you in front of the whole group, but they might be small enough that you can actually get around to each person in the room individually. You can also have opportunities sometimes with meetups to become a sponsor or even to help organize or to offer a prize for a draw. There's a variety of different smaller ways that you can be involved in meetups. That's a kind of a summary of three of the main types of events. But what could you actually do at an event? Particularly focusing upon conferences, what can you actually do when you're there? Now, there's a whole art in using a conference to build your profile, and perhaps that's a topic for another podcast altogether. But ultimately, there's a few things that you can do. And probably the best one, the one that most people think about, is speaking at an event. Now, speaking at an event obviously gets you in front of a lot of people quickly, particularly if you can get a main speaking slot, which is pretty unachievable for most of us, but it isn't achievable to get even the smaller speaking spots for some people. It is something that takes time. Usually, from my experience, getting asked to speak at an event means that you've had to already build your profile quite a bit in an industry, or you need to know someone and have a relationship with the organizers of the event in some way. I don't want to focus so much upon speaking at events because that perhaps is a little bit unachievable for those starting out, But there's plenty of other ways that you can build your profile at an event. And ultimately, a lot of it has to do with getting out there and meeting as many other attendees and speakers and organizers as you can. It's largely about networking. Now, that word networking, I know, is sending some of you into the fetal position as you think about getting out of your comfort zone and going up to complete strangers and introducing yourself. And to be honest, I'm kind of cringing even saying the word, because that's me. I am incredibly shy. Now, I've learned over the years how to push myself out of my comfort zone, and I've seen the benefits of doing that, but it doesn't come naturally to me. I find it so hard. I find it so difficult to walk up to someone and introduce myself to someone cold. I've got the advantage these days of often speaking at events, which does open up opportunities for people to come up to me, but I still find it very hard to meet new people. I went to an event just a couple of months ago, and I remember sitting in that event in this massive auditorium. I was speaking at the event, but I also just looked like an attendee, and I remember sitting there, and I was very aware that I had people on either side of me that I didn't know. And I knew instinctively that I probably should be putting my hand out and saying, "Hey, I'm Darren, nice to meet you." But I found that so hard to do. But do you know what? Almost every time I've pushed myself out of my comfort zone to do that, something good has come out of it. I have met people who've become readers of my blog. I've met people who are already readers of my blog who are too shy to introduce themselves. I've met people who've become collaborators. Once I met someone who became a team member of my blog. I met someone who became a sponsor of my blog who was just happened to be sitting next to me in a session. It is so well worth pushing yourself out of that. Now, I know it's hard, but you need to psych yourself up for this sort of thing. Of course, there's plenty of other things that you can do at events as well. I know bloggers who go to events and before they go, they'll print t-shirts with their logo so they can wear that. That often opens up a conversation. I know people who go to events dressed in fancy dress costume to draw attention to themselves. It's probably not something I feel too comfortable doing, but it does work for some personalities. I know people who create business cards with little mini gifts on them. I know someone who bakes cookies to give out at conferences or puts sweets on their business cards. I know people who use stickers when they go to meetups and they stick stickers on everyone they meet, which can kind of be a little bit try hard, but it also can end up fun. So there's a variety of different things that you can do at events to, I guess, make your splash a little bigger at the event. Now, you want to be careful about how you're coming across. Some people that will come across as a little bit try hard, a little bit too self-promotional. You need to kind of think about the event you're going to and how that is going to be received. Some events are a little bit more conservative, and so you showing up in fancy dress, putting stickers on everyone, probably isn't going to fly. But I think just being a good human being friendly at these type of events goes a long way.
Creating great content and building your audience. This is ProBlogger.
Now, a few other things that you can do at events that I've seen really work for people. Number one, become prominent on the event hashtag. Now, this is going online a little bit. I know I'm talking offline here, but we're at an event. If you're at an event, one opportunity that may present is to become very prominent on that hashtag, not by going spammy and not by going over the top, but by creating value on the hashtag. And I've seen a number of people do this at our events. We've almost always have someone come to our event as an attendee who pretty much live tweets the event. Even though we've got people there live tweeting in our team, there's almost always one attendee who shines through the whole hashtag by providing value there, answering questions, creating social graphics with quotes on them. I know some people who take visual notes and then take photos of those and put them up onto the hashtag. It's amazing how that stands out. You know, there'll be plenty of other people at your event following the hashtag, and if they see someone creating value, someone being generous on the hashtag, that stands out a lot, because sometimes hashtags get a little bit spammy and self-promotional, but you can really stand out in that way. And that can then open up opportunities for you to meet in real life with those people. Another thing that I've seen work very well at events is for you to interview people at the event. And I've talked about this in the past in a previous episode, but Michael Stelzner, who now operates Social Media Marketing World and Social Media Examiner, the first time I met him was at a conference, probably was in 2005, a blogging conference. And he contacted me before the event and said, "Hey, I'm bringing a camera crew with me to this event. Would you mind if we do an interview?" And I'd never heard of Mike before, but I was kind of open to that opportunity. I was speaking at the event. So it turns out he did this with every speaker at the event. And during the event, he met pretty much every speaker at the event because he had this camera crew with him. He put a big backdrop up and he interviewed us. I think he was wearing a t-shirt with his URL on it. This did a number of things. Firstly, it got him to meet all the key speakers at the event. Number two, he got to ask these speakers lots of questions, so he gained a lot of knowledge. Number three, he built relationships with other people at the event as well because he was being seen to be with the speakers. And he pretty much launched his whole blog off this idea of interviewing people at the event. Now, you may not be able to afford to get a camera crew at your event, but The fact is you've probably got a camera in your pocket already. You could be pulling out your iPhone at the end of sessions and saying to speakers, "Hey, do you mind if I ask you one question?" That is going to get on their radar, and it gives you an opportunity after the event to contact that speaker and say, "Hey, here's the YouTube clip of me asking you that question." Gives you a chance to take that relationship a little bit further, and it may also mean that that influencer, that speaker, shares the clip with their network as well. You can do the same thing not only with speakers but attendees as well, with the organizers of the event. This is just a great way to break the ice with people rather than going up and saying, "Hey, I'm Darren," and then having an awkward moment of small talk. You can say, "Hey, I'm Darren. Hey, I'm doing a few quick interviews. Would you mind me asking you a question or two?" I would advise you to keep it as short as you can. You don't want to be dominating someone's day by doing a 45-minute interview with them. Just a question or two can be really useful. So that's something you could try at an event. The third thing you might want to try at an event, many events are calling for volunteers to be a part of running the event. This can take you away from the content of the event sometimes, but it can also put you in a position to sometimes be up front or involved with speakers. And it can sometimes just give you a way to break the ice with our other attendees because you are welcoming them, you're greeting them, you're signing them in, those types of things. And this can open up opportunities for you to have chats with people as well. The fourth thing that you might want to do at an event is to be involved in other ways that the event is calling for. So I went to an event recently and they were running what they called table talks during the breaks. And these were where they had tables set up for people to chat about a particular topic. And each table had a leader, a moderator. Lots of conferences do this type of thing. These are volunteers who become the moderators, but they get you in front of a group of people and again, give you opportunities to talk about what you do. So just be open to ideas and opportunities that might come. I know one person, every event she goes to, she contacts the event organizer and says, "Hey, I'm a yoga teacher. Do you mind me doing a yoga session at 6 o'clock before the event starts?" Now, not every attendee is going to give you a space in their event to do yoga, but many event organizers are looking to add little quirky things like that into their event to make it a little bit more interesting. And this person who told me this, that they do this, says that most event organizers say yes. Many of them give her a space to do it, and many of them actually promote the fact that she's doing it, and they promote who she is as well. So, you know, are there things that you could add to an event? I know another blogger who always does a photo walk every event he goes to. Just an opportunity to get a group of people together who share an interest, to spend some time with them, and to be seen to be doing something proactive and constructive as well. Gets you on the radar of the event organizer, but also attendees, and can sometimes lead to other cool things as well. Last thing I'll say that you might want to do at an event is consider sponsoring it. Now, this is may not be as achievable for many of us because, you know, the big conferences particularly can charge quite a bit for sponsorship. But, you know, maybe there's a small event in your area where they are looking for a smaller sponsor, or they're looking for someone to donate a prize, or they're looking for someone to promote the event and they're willing to promote you in exchange for that. Many events will talk to you about different ways that you can be involved in that as well to give you some promotion as well. And while I'm talking about smaller events there, don't just target the big events. I know some of you are going, well, I can't afford to, you know, fly to Orlando to go to an event or to Vegas to go to an event, but you might find that there are local events in your area that may not be as big. They may not get you in front of as many people, but they do still present the type of reader that you want to have and people that you want to network with.
How to build and monetize your blog. This is ProBlogger.
Couple of other things I would say about events. One other thing that I'll mention is that there's an opportunity not only to attend the events of other people, but to run your own event as well. Now, this doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be expensive. Now, a pro blogger, we obviously run some bigger events. I just told you about Success Incubator, which we're doing in Orlando this year, but we also run events in Australia, and we've had up to 700 people at those events. But do you know what? Our events started much smaller. The first pro blogger event we ran was for 100 people, but before I even did that, in 2005, I ran a meetup and 10 people came. And that doesn't sound like much, but you know what? I know four of those people still today read ProBlogger, and they've been reading ProBlogger since 2005. You know, they've shown up at ProBlogger probably hundreds and hundreds of times, each of them, and they've told other people about ProBlogger. You know, to run that event, it was so easy. I just registered it on meetups.com, which is a place which advertises meetups. Just by simply advertising on meetups.com, I got a few people coming to the event who'd never heard of me before, so they became new readers. But then I also advertised it to my current readers, and some of those came as well. It wasn't many people to that first meetup, but you know, the second time I ran that meetup, I had 20 or so people. And then later on, that became our 100-person event, ProBlogger. So even a small meetup like that can work. The other option is to collaborate about doing a meetup or an event as well. You know, maybe you could join with two other bloggers in your local area and run an event together, maybe a couple of podcasters, or maybe look for other types of partners as well. I'm going to talk at the end of this podcast about other types of collaborations, but maybe there's other partners like a media outlet or a brand or a local government agency or your local library. And there's a variety of different potential partners that may be able to work with you on events. There's also another kind of event that I've seen a number of bloggers use, and that is local markets or swap meets. Now, just stick with me here. This sounds a little bit random, but let me give you a couple of examples. This is going to depend a little upon your particular niche. The key is to find a market or a swap meet or some other kind of local event that matches with your topic. And I can think of a few bloggers who've done this. I can think of one fashion blogger who gets sent new clothing by brands. She gets gifted this to review on her blog, and most of it she doesn't really want to keep, so she sells it, which I think is a kind of interesting way to monetize a blog, and the brands are fine with it. So she goes to secondhand markets that operate every now and again in her area to sell the products. But while she's there, she also promotes her blog. So she had this sign made that is the name of her blog. And she has some business cards on a table in front of the clothes that she's selling and some flyers. She promotes the fact she's going to be at that market on her blog as well, and does a prize draw for anyone who signs up for her newsletter at the event. So she's there primarily to make some money, to sell some stuff, but she also uses that opportunity because she's in public to promote her blog as well. I know another parenting blogger who attends craft markets and, again, secondhand kids' toys and clothes markets. And she doesn't go to these to sell anything. She actually hires a booth to promote her blog. So she gets this booth, everyone around her is selling stuff, and she is there handing out her business cards. She's got a screen set up with her blog on it. She runs a competition get people to sign up for her newsletter. She's got little gift packs to hand out to people that promotes her blog. She actually creates a real buzz in the middle of this craft market, and it's all about her blog. She doesn't make any money. It costs her about $50 to $100, depending on the market, to do it, but she gets new readers every time. She gets people signing up for a newsletter. I've seen another car blogger do this as well. He goes to car events, and he asks the car event organizers if he can either become a sponsor or he can set up a little booth in return for income. And he does similar kind of stuff. So are there markets? Are there secondhand markets? Are there swap meets? Are there places where your kind of reader is showing up? Now, most of this is localized. Most of this is probably happening in your local area. So it's probably going to better suit you if you are trying to reach a local audience. But it doesn't really matter. Like, you know, many of these bloggers are actually looking for a wider audience, but they end up having quite a few in their local area as well. So these are just creative ways of thinking about it. The last type of event that you might want to think about running yourself is a free workshop. Now, I've mentioned this strategy in a previous episode as well, so I'm not going to go into great detail, but in my early days of blogging, particularly my early photography blog, I used to run camera training workshops at my local library. I noticed that the library just around the corner from my house was doing these Thursday night workshops, and they were doing them on all kinds of topics. I went to one someone else was running on traveling to Morocco, for example. So it was kind of random, and I approached the librarian and said, "Hey, I know a bit about cameras. Would you like me to run an event on how to take better photos?" And they said, "Sure, we're always looking for new topics." So I ran my first one, and I think about 30 people came. I didn't know any of them. I didn't promote it on my end at all. It was just 30 library members. I talked for 45 minutes, answered a few questions. And you know what? I know for a fact that many of, or at least some of those 20 or 30 people who came to that event became readers of my blog for years after that. I ended up running a number of these events, and they grew every time I did it because people recommended it to other people. Now, there's lots of community groups out there who are doing this type of thing, are running free workshops on things. So maybe it's your local library, maybe it's your school, maybe it's your university, maybe it's a church, maybe it's a community group, maybe it's a parenting group. I know there are parenting playgroup type scenarios in our local area that bring in experts all the time to speak about different topics that relate to parents. Maybe it's a men's group or a women's group or a sporting club or a hobby-related club or a local council, a chambers of commerce. You probably won't get paid anything for any of these, but it's good free exposure, and it also gives you practice at public speaking. And this is gold. If you eventually want to be a keynote speaker at a big conference, you've got to start somewhere and learning the craft of speaking. So these type of little opportunities to get up in front of a few people and to share can be good in the now, but also to give you new skills as well. The last thing I say about those type of speaking opportunities is that sometimes they open up doors to speak at other larger events as well. And it just so turns out that I think it was the second time I did that library workshop, there was someone who came to that who actually ran a larger photography event. He came because he thought, "Oh, this is interesting. I want to see what this guy knows." And me giving that talk led me to being invited to this larger event that about 300 or 400 people at a camera club was putting on. And it gave me an opportunity to speak in front of 300 or 400 people. So you never know who's in the audience. You never know who the one or two people that you're talking to might be or who they might know that might open up other opportunities.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
Okay, so I've covered events in quite a bit of detail there, and I hope that you found some ideas through that. What I want to do now is to just talk about a few other things that you can do to promote your blog offline. And some of these will relate to some of you better than others, but you know, the second thing I want to talk about is media. You know, mainstream media are always looking for fresh stories. Now, you might hear mainstream media and go, "Oh, mainstream media is dead." It's actually not dead at all. It certainly has, the online world has overtaken a lot of it, but mainstream media still is being consumed by lots of people. Now, they're always looking for ideas for stories as well. And the thing I've noticed about many mainstream media outlets is that they are putting off journalists left, right, and center. And so there's opportunities there to both pitch stories and help the journalists that remain, but also potentially to even write for mainstream media as well. Now, if you are going to pitch stories to mainstream media, you may find it you get through to sort of the big media outlets, so the national television shows and those types of things, but you're probably more likely to get a response from local television stations or local radio or local papers as well. And again, what you'll find here is that if you can get into a local kind of space, then that can sometimes open up opportunities for you to get picked up or syndicated by larger outlets as well. I talked to one blogger about a year ago now who told me that they pitched their local paper, their local suburban paper, with stories about every 6 months, and they had an 80% hit rate on those. And again, she said a couple of those have then been picked up by larger media outlets. She actually, what she does is she take the article that's written and then she'll send it on to the larger media. And sometimes they then syndicate that kind of content or pick it up and expand upon that story. Now, think across the board here. TV can work. Newspapers, sounds a bit old-fashioned, but they're still being delivered. Radio. Vanessa, my partner, wife, had a regular spot recently on a local radio station. She was invited to go on to do a 5-minute spot every Saturday morning with a fashion tip. So the radio host would interview her about things. They pre-recorded it and then played it live on the air. It was very easy for her to do that, but it gave her exposure to that audience, free publicity for her blog. Of course, the radio station got 5 minutes of content out of it as well. So it's a win-win type thing. She wasn't paid, but it brought in new readers. If you do want to think about media, there are a couple of different services that can put you in touch with journalists. Probably the largest and best known of them is Help a Reporter or Harrow. You can find it at helpareporter.com. It's a site that matches sources or experts in different areas with journalists. So if a journalist is writing about a particular topic and needs a quote or they need some insight on that particular topic, they go to helpareporter.com, they type in their topic and register that they're looking for a quote or looking for a source. And then you, if you've registered as a source and you've told Harrow what your areas of expertise are, you get emailed when there's a match between what journalists are looking for and what you know about. Now, there's a number of these types of services out there. There's an Aussie service called SourceBottle, SourceBottle.com. They're actually global now. I started here in Australia, and they do a very similar thing to Harrow. So these are ways that you can just register and then get told when there are media opportunities. And you never know whether it's going to be a journalist with a big audience or a small one. You know, I've heard stories of people getting approached by, you know, tiny little media outlets, but then others where Harrow has opened up a spot on national television in America, you know, in one of the breakfast shows. So you never quite know. It can be well worth going as well. The other type of media that you might want to explore is actually writing for the media as well. I mentioned just a moment ago how many media outlets now have shrunk the amount of journalists they have, and they're actually now using freelance writers quite a bit. And so there may be opportunity for you to pitch for articles in mainstream media. You may get paid, you may not. You may just get a byline. You obviously need to go into that knowing what the agreement is, but it can be an opportunity to grow your profile. The other type of thing that's kind of similar to media is other kinds of offline publications. Maybe there's opportunity in the industry groups that relate to your topic. I know in, you know, the financial services, there's here in Australia, there's an accounting, you know, kind of peak body. There's bodies for marketers. There's bodies in different kind of industries. And many of these bodies have publications. Maybe it's a newsletter that they email out every week or newspaper every month, or maybe they still do a magazine. And there's opportunities in that case to be featured or to write content for those as well. I know one blogger who works in the financial services industry as a blogger. He's got a blog on that particular topic, and he approached a national body for in his industry, and the body has tens of thousands of members, and he offered to write them an article every quarter for them to use in their industry magazine. Now, they jumped at the opportunity because he said he'd do it for free as long as he could get a byline. I think you may even get a small honorarium sort of payment for that, but it's certainly not freelance rates. But they negotiated for him to promote his blog as part of that agreement. And every quarter, he sees a spike in traffic and subscribers. And he also told me that it has led to all kinds of other opportunities, particularly speaking requests, because he's in the industry body magazine. Every time it goes out, people get to know his name. This builds credibility and it opens up opportunities for him as well. Similarly, on Digital Photography School, we allow our articles to be republished by camera clubs in their newsletters. We have a rule that they're not allowed to publish it on their websites because we don't want the same content appearing on lots of websites, but we allow them to send it to their members, either if they print it out or via email, as long as there's attribution as to where it came from. And I know for a fact that by us allowing camera clubs to do that, that we found new readers. It's brought us the type of reader that we want. You know, someone who is in a camera club is enthusiastic about their photography, and that's the type of person we want reading our site. So there may be opportunities for you to allow some of your previously published blog content to appear in different places. An example of this that I can think of here in Australia is a particular airline, Virgin Australia, has podcasts on their in-flight entertainment. And I know a number of bloggers who have their content featured in that in-flight entertainment. Now, I don't think they get paid a lot for that. I think there is some small fee that they are paid, potentially. Don't quote me on that. But they get new listeners as a result of that. So is there a way that your content can be shared in another place by a different kind of organization? There may be opportunities there for you to grow credibility and to grow your audience as a result.
This is Pro Blogger.
The next one I want to talk about is notice boards, and this is kind of a fun one, and it's one of those ones where you may not end up getting thousands and thousands of new readers for that, but it could get you the right kind of reader. You know, I was in a local cafe a couple of years ago, and I noticed they had this notice board. I'd ordered my coffee, and so I went over to the notice board. It's the type of notice board you've probably seen, you know, everywhere you go. You see these almost every day. It allowed people to post flyers of events or, you know, leave their business card from their business. And in the middle of this notice board was this flyer that was promoting a blog. And I was like, wow, I've never seen anyone do that before. And it was beautifully designed in color, stood out from everything else on the notice board. And it basically was about this particular blog. I think the blog was about parenting, and it was particularly targeting parents in Melbourne, where I live. And I took notice of it. And so I actually took notice of her URL and her Twitter handle. And I reached out to her on Twitter and said, hey, I just saw your flyer. I'd love to know how it works for you leaving that flyer there. Now, I thought she'd probably just left the flyer in that cafe, but now we had this DM conversation, and she says she actually has this little folder in her car full of these flyers. And every time she sees a community notice board, she goes to her car and gets one of the notices and puts it up. She only does it in places where she's allowed to do it, of course, but they go up in cafes, shopping malls, libraries, schools, churches, doctors' surgeries, shop windows, anywhere where she sees other people doing it. And there's an invitation to do that, she puts one up. She usually asks for permission as well, just to make sure. She told me that she pretty much puts one of those up every day, and it's something that has worked for her. Now, her audience is a little bit more local. She is targeting people within the one city, so it makes sense to do that. But maybe there's some ways for you to grow your audience in that way. One more example of a blogger who uses notice boards. I came across this blogger years ago now, and he had a blog targeting students. Don't know if the blog's still live anymore, but at that time he was offering courses to help students to study. He printed up flyers, and he was particularly looking for university students or college students. And so he put up these notices with a free opt-in on it. And it was one of those little notice flyers that had the little tear-off bits at the bottom with a URL. So he used this URL and said, you know, tear off one of these, take it home, go to this website, plug in your details, and we'll send you a free study guide, or we'll send you something that's going to help you with your studies. Now, he was only doing it in the local university and colleges in his city at the time, but it had such an impact that and he saw a number of people not only getting the opt-in but buying his upsell from the opt-in as well, that he ended up hiring people to do it in other cities around the US as well. And he had people in cities everywhere putting these flyers up, and he paid them basically to go once a month and put up new ones, because it actually drew him not only readers, but drew him customers as well. So maybe notice boards. I don't know. It's probably going to depend upon your topic and whether you can find a notice board kind of location that matches with what you're trying to do. Last thing I want to talk about is collaborations, and I've kind of mentioned a number of these sort of collaborations already, but I really would encourage you to think creatively about other kinds of collaborators, other types of organizations that maybe already have networks and profile with the kind of person you want to read your blog. You know, what could you offer them that gives them a win if they help you out by giving you some exposure or introducing you to the right people? You know, earlier I gave you the example of where I spoke at my local library, and in some ways that was a collaboration. I gave them a workshop, I gave them some content, I got people into their library who maybe wouldn't have come into their library on that particular day, and they promoted what I was doing to their members, which got me new readers and exposure. There's so many different ways that you could potentially do this. And here's just a few of them. What about your local government? Here in Australia, we call them our local council. Maybe it's the local chamber of commerce. I don't know what you call it in your particular area, but many times the local kind of governments and councils are running events. You know, what events are they running that relate to what you do? What programs do they have? What services do they have for the type of person that you are trying to reach out to? You know, if you're a parenting blogger, you know, most local councils in our area are doing kind of early childhood kind of work in some form or another. Maybe there's some opportunity for you to volunteer, for you to sponsor, for you to participate in the events that they run, for you to speak at their events in some way. Same with industry associations. Are there other opportunities to collaborate? You know, I've already kind of talked about how you could write for their newsletters, but are they looking for speakers for their events? Are they looking for volunteers to help them run their events? Are they looking for help with their social media? Are they just running meetups themselves that you could be participating in? One last one, retailers. Retailers have databases of customers, and if you can find a retailer that is selling something that you are writing about, then sometimes there can be some synergy there. Now, this never actually came off, but for a while there, I was talking to one camera store retailer, and we were talking really seriously about me offering them a free ebook to go with every camera that they sold. Now, it didn't end up working out in the end. They kind of got a little bit of cold feet. We didn't quite work out the delivery system on it, but that would have been a great opportunity. This camera store is selling thousands of cameras every month. What if I had the opportunity to have one of my ebooks go alongside each of those cameras that taught people how to use that camera, and had some sort of an opt-in associated with that, where I could capture their email address and get them across to my blog a little bit more? Maybe there's some sort of creative ways that you could get out and collaborate with some other kind of organization that's already got the kind of reader that you want to have. Brainstorm it. Where are your readers gathering? Where are they buying products? What events are they heading to? Where do they go locally? Who are they listening to that you could reach out to and have a collaboration with? all of these sort of collaborative opportunities, almost all of them that I've ever had have come out of relationships. And so the more you can get out there, you can meet people in your industry, you can hear what they do, you can listen to the outcomes that they want, and then you can communicate what you're trying to do and try and find some win-win exchanges that you can have with them. And who knows what will come as a result of that. Many times the things that I've talked to you about today, these things have relatively low costs. Probably going to an event is the highest cost one. I understand that that can be a little bit out of some people's budgets. But many of the things I've talked about today don't really have much cost to them apart from your time and your effort. So I wish you luck in promoting your blog and your business in the offline space as well. Now, I feel like I've just scratched the surface today. I've seen people do so many other things. I could have talked about, you know, printing and giving away t-shirts with your blog's name and URL on them, or giving away other kind of merchandise. I know one blogger who gives out coffee mugs, and he tells me that people see people drinking from their coffee mugs and ask what that is about. Maybe you could donate prizes to a local fundraiser. Maybe you could offer to judge competitions. Maybe you could put on an awards ceremony in your local area. All these things can help you to find the reader that you want to have. And I would love to hear what you've tried. The sky's the limit, really. And the more we hear from each other on what we do, the better. So if you tried any offline promotion, whether it's worked or not, I'd love to hear about it. You can leave a comment on today's show notes at problogger.com/podcast/244. Or you can head to our ProBlogger community on Facebook. Just search ProBlogger community and you'll find our Facebook group there. And you can tell us, give us a tip. Just start with the hashtag tip or advice or something like that. And let us know what it is that you have tried. Let's share the knowledge. Let's learn from each other. It's so much better when we do that. Thanks so much for listening today. There's been a lot of content in today's show. Thank you for sticking with me through it. You know what? I'm almost losing my voice because of this podcast today. That's how much I've talked. But I've loved hearing from many of you in the last week or so. In fact, I called for new reviews on the on iTunes a couple of weeks ago now. And, you know, over the next few days, I had about 10 new reviews left on iTunes. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for those. They bring me great joy and encouragement. So if you've got a moment and you are listening to this on a iTunes or on the podcast store, in the Apple one or any other one, please do leave us a review, leave us a rating. It helps us to grow, gives me energy and inspiration as well. And I really hope you have a great week of blogging. Do check out Success Incubator again. It is happening 24th, 25th of September in Orlando, Florida. If you're in Australia, you're waiting for our event details, stay tuned. It'll happen later this year and I will let you know here on the podcast when that goes live. Success Incubator, just head to problogger.com/success. Thanks for listening. Chat with you next week.
You've been listening to ProBlogger. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, find us at problogger.com/podcast. Tweet us at ProBlogger. Find us at facebook.com/ProBlogger. Or search ProBlogger on iTunes.
Before I go, I want to give a big shout out and say thank you to Craig Hewitt and the team at Podcast Motor, who've been editing all of our podcasts for some time now. Podcast Motor have a great range of services for podcasters at all levels. They can help you to set up your podcast, but also offer a couple of excellent services to help you to edit your shows and get them up with great show notes. Check them out at podcastmotor.com.